This is The Express with Gary Allen, your 360-degree view of the world. Now, here's your host, Gary Allen.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to this episode of The Express. Gary Allen with you. So pleased that you take a few minutes out of your day. Randy, I know you're in the chat room, so thank you very, very much. I know you constantly are listening to the show, and I appreciate that very much, along with everyone else that takes a few minutes out of your day to join us. And I hope you stay with me for the entire hour. We got a very good show for you tonight. We have a gentleman on, Marcus P. Milton Jr. He's the author of many, many books. He's been on a lot of number of television shows, but the book we're going to talk about tonight is Nice Guys Don't Get Laid. It's a satirical look at why nice guys don't get laid. The girls that like nice guys only to get what they want, and then they go to the bad boys for what they need. That kind of a thing. A quick reminder, you can go on Facebook and find me at Gary Allen. You can go to YouTube.com, Gary Allen The Express. This coming Thursday, this program repeats itself at 7 o'clock on the DiversityBroadcastNetwork.com, as well as ProgressiveVoices.com. And very soon, because we're just now transferring my website over to a new host, in the next couple of days, you'll be able to go into the link section and find out all the new places you can listen to this show on all the different podcast networks that are happening. So I'm very excited about that, and I hope all of you definitely will stay with us here as we start to expand and start to move forward with an awful lot of things. Before we go too far tonight, I would like to say I was very saddened by the news that we got here in Florida just a few hours ago. I'm sure many of you who are Major League Baseball fans heard that Roy Doc Holliday was killed this afternoon in an airplane accident off the coast of Florida, off the coast of the Tampa St. Pete area. We're very saddened by him. He played for the Toronto Blue Jays as well as my beloved Philadelphia Phillies. And we're all very, very sad about that. And, some people, he was 40 years old. Some people say that, you know, the good die young. And in this particular case, yes, I don't know the circumstances of it. I do know that it was a flying boat, more or less, a flying airplane that can land in the water. He was a skilled pilot. What happened? Who knows? Might have had a heart attack while flying the aircraft. He just received the airplane about a month ago. So I'm very excited about, not very excited, but I'm very sad that he passed away. Anyway, like I said, I was very saddened to hear about this man's passing. While he played for my Phillies, he did an awful lot. He had pitched a no-hitter with the Toronto Blue Jays as well as the Phillies. He pitched a perfect game against the Marlins when he was with the Phillies. He also won a World Series ring when he was with the Philadelphia Phillies. So it's very sad indeed. For all intents and practical purposes, I thank all of you so much for taking the time to join us. As I said, there's a lot of good things coming down the line here on The Express. Once the new website is up, you'll be able to go to the link section and find out all the new places, the different podcast areas you can find the show. And there's even some possibilities, a couple of new networks that'll be added along the way. Let me introduce this gentleman to you before, as you've heard his voice already this evening, Marcus P. Milton Jr. Marcus isn't well known for his satire and humor. And believe me, when you read this book, it is. He's appeared on national programs such as Geraldo, Montel Williams, Lisa, the Playboy Channel, and other national and local television shows. He has been in many, many newspapers, such as the USA Today, New York Times, the Dallas Morning News, Orange County Register, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, the Lafayette Advertiser, Los Angeles Times. He's been on, an awful lot of TV shows. He's written many, many, many books, such as the one for tonight, Nice Guys Don't Get Laid, Hunting for Lawyers, The PO'd Postal Worker, The Adventures of Liberal Man. And so it is my pleasure to welcome to the program here Marcus P. Milton. Marcus, welcome to The Express.
Glad to be here. Thanks for that opening.
Yeah, well, you know, I read the book. I've read different excerpts from the book to get prepared for this show. Some of this stuff, even though it's written with tongue-in-cheek satire, some of it's extremely true.
Oh, absolutely. And I lived this. You know, this was something that I watched. And all the men out there have seen this. Going through high school, the bad boys in school, the druggies, the gang members, you know, the drug dealers, you know, they had a woman following them.
Yeah.
And, you know, in universities, they're not around the engineering department. They're around the football players and the basketball players. And most of them don't have a future. So it's something that we lived through. And you remember the email I sent you. Look at Weinstein.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out, and we'll be getting into the bad boys aspect of this, but turns out he had investigators going after some of the people that he thought were going to testify or talk to the police about him. He even had the members of Mossad going after some of the actresses. And
yeah.
I mean, this is to be perfectly honest with you, I find people like that to be so creepy, so disgusting, and that even includes the guy that's sitting in the White House, who I never liked to begin with. And of course, it was good news on the election front tonight as the Democrats took New Jersey, the governor's house, the attorney general, and everything. So maybe the tide is turning a little bit, and people are turning away from this. I mean, I don't classify the president as a bad boy. I just classify him as a disgusting pig. But, you know, that a lot of people tell me I'm gone too far with that. He is the president. Well, you know what? I worked for a president that resigned from office, and, you know, he was nothing like this man. This man's a disgrace to this nation, and with some of the behavior that he had. And yet that's the part that I don't get, Marcus, is they condone it. It's almost like the women in your book, they go to the good guys to get what they want. And then they go to the bad guys to get what they need.
Yes. Good statement. Good statement. You know, the thing about Weinstein is he did this for 30 years. He had women set up honey traps. Basically, women would meet him at a hotel room. They would have a woman that was called to come over there, something about a movie part or something. She would arrive. All the women in the hotel room would walk out knowing what was going to happen afterwards.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
And
I witnessed the casting couch myself on a personal level. Not that I was ever up for any big parts or anything like what Weinstein did, but yeah, I you know, when I lived in Los Angeles, I had a few women when I was single hit on me. I don't know why they needed glasses to find because I'm not exactly Mr. Attractive. But let's start off at the beginning here. What was the purpose? And I know you like to write satire and you've written many books, and we're going to have you back at some point after the first of the year, because there's other books that you sent me that I want to talk to you about and have people aware of. First of all, what was the idea of coming up with "Nice Guys Don't Get Laid," a statement that men have been making since the beginning of time? But what was your idea of writing this book, and what is the nice guy theory?
Well, the way this came up was that I noticed around, I guess this was the 1970s, you had Oprah Winfrey starting up. She would have women on stage talking about how awful men were, the men that they married, mm-hmm. the men that they dated. And then, and I'm sitting there going, well, you chose the guy, you accepted that guy, and you probably stepped over a few other guys to get to that person. Then you married that person, and now you're on stage complaining about the choice you made. And that drove me a little bit nuts. And at that time, that was when the women's liberation thing was, you know, just completely on fire. Mm-hmm. And you would open a door for a woman, and she would look at you like you'd done something wrong to her. And it gotten to the point where, you know, I've about had it with this, and I see what they're looking for. You know, I see the kind of guys they're attracted to. So my objective is to teach guys how to become the kind of guy that women crave. Mm-hmm. And so I teach them how to get drinking problems and police records so they have the proper mating credentials. And so that's the way I covered it. And it's a joke because you're not going to get a drinking problem just so that you can attract women.
Yeah.
But they have an issue with women that would actually go to these Alcoholics Anonymous things to, you know, to meet men and date them, you know, because there's someone mm-hmm. they could fix, they could take care of. you know. So it was just it was a joke, but it was really to get guys to understand something that took me too long to learn, and that if you are a pushover, you know, if you can be stepped on easily, if you do anything, you know, no matter how she treats you, you're going to get you're a doormat. That's all you're going to be. And all the stuff that your mom told you, you know, take them out to a nice dinner, never say anything cross, you know, all that other stuff. No, absolutely not. You can be a good man. You can be an honorable man, but you stand up for yourself. You know, if you feel like you're getting walked on, you tell her. There are other people out there. And, you know, I just tell guys it's the numbers that matter. You date as many people, see as many people, meet as many women as you can. The more women... other women see around you, the more women want you, because they look at it as being, if they want you, then I must want you.
Yeah,
and that's how it seems. That's what works the best.
Yeah, when I was in college, I dated someone that I knew for a lot of years. I knew her older sister. We were in not high school, but we were in middle school together. And then she went off to her high school. I went off to a different one, but we were the same, you know, grade, the same age. And I dated her younger sister, and her younger sister was a user. If it wasn't for me, she would have never found out that she liked flying airplanes. She's a pilot for US Air now. But she was strictly a user, strictly a low rent user. And I almost lost my mind when I lost her. And then I look back on it now and I go, what in the hell were you thinking, Gary? You know, this, you know, I've seen pictures of her recently. And while I may not be God's gift to women in the looks department, this girl has turned out to be just a fat little airline pilot chick who is just, you know, I don't know why I went gaga over it, but I guess every guy and every girl, their first crush or whatever, they go a little crazy. You mentioned something that we're going to talk about too, but you mentioned it. Why do women have this thing about them? Oh, I can change the man, and all he's looking for is a mother figure. I mean, that is so wrong.
Oh, it is. Beauty and the Beast, that's got to be the worst example of a relationship you can possibly have. You start out with a guy that's a complete creep, mistreats this poor woman that comes up asking for help. Yeah. She turns him into a beast, and the guy captures her father to take her. I mean, does all these horrible things, and this is a big love story, and women are sitting there going, oh, this is just wonderful. And I'm looking at it going, how in the world is this ever going to work out in real life, you know? He was a creep all the way up to the moment that they had the nice ending. But she changed him. She made him better, you know. And see, it makes her the superwoman, because she's out there. She's gotten a guy that just can't, you know, just has nothing going for him, and she made him a better man. And they had there was a woman that wrote a book about women who date alcoholics. And the biggest problem she had, she was a psychologist, was that she – whenever a woman was successful that she was working with, who had a husband who was alcoholic, whenever she was successful at, you know, and not really successful, the guy gives up drinking. Generally, he gives up drinking because he gave it up, not because she convinced him to. Things got so bad, he just did it. She said it was notoriously common for the woman then to drop the guy after he'd gotten off alcohol.
I think men will quit drinking because they've hit the bottom and they've hit bottom, or for religion, they will for a woman.
Yes. You know, and most likely. But it was like there was nothing there left to do. Mm-hmm. And so she'd leave him, and she can't take a guy. And see, you know, I like to cover this because I take the extremes. You know, I sent you some articles, you know, about how a prisoner who killed cops impregnated a female penitentiary officer. You know, I mean, it's like, is there just really a hard time finding a good guy out there that she can't find someone who wasn't a cop murderer? You know, what is the deal here?
And
the Menendez brothers getting married in prison, both of them. One got married, and the other one, they just shut it off because it was like, we can't do this.
I don't get that at all. Yeah, we're talking to Marcus P. Milton,
so
the author.
Not,
The author of Nice Guys Don't Get Laid here on the Express, Gary Allen with you. I don't understand that women who fall for guys that are in prison, particularly even if they're on death row. I don't get it. Are they so desperate they can't find a guy out here at all? I mean, you know, look, I'm 65, so I kind of am a little picky about who I'm with. Now, I am quite fond of someone here, very much so, but I'm picky, you know. Are women that desperate? I mean, let's get back to something. You're talking about the Beauty and the Beast thing. But what is it about women who think they can transform a man? You know, obviously, if he has a couple of bad habits, like wherever he takes off his clothes, that's where you'll find him. You know, they drop on the floor. You can change somebody from doing that. I know women that are just as big a pig in the house, too. You can change people a little bit. But we're talking about guys that are drunks or drug addicts or beat up women. Women think they can change them, and then they're, I couldn't change him. He beat the crap out of me 100 times. I mean, you know, don't they bring it upon themselves
just
by
like
getting
he did everyone else? Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, he cheated on me just like he did on his ex-wife that left him because I cheated on her.
Yeah. So, or he cheated on me like his father cheated on his mother.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And so all the old rules actually apply for women. Is that the old rules were, are they making good grades? Do they have a future? You know, do they not have a police record? Do they have good parents? You know, you go through all these rules that used to be followed, and those worked. And we kind of gave it up. It became a free-for-all, is that, you know, we can date anybody. And all the movies were like this. It was always the bad boy that, you know, she changes. The movies do it over and over again, and they love that stuff, you know. You know, the old romance novels, same thing. You know, they change the guy. And there's this, they get validity, I guess, or they feel like that they've made themselves if they fix somebody, you know, if they make them better and they can show them off. Mothering instinct, you could call it, but it's completely destructive. And it is something that frustrated me. So, you know, I decided, okay, well, let's teach guys how to be that. And I've actually had women read the book and drop their boyfriends afterwards.
And
what it was, they looked at it, and I do such a good job of actually analyzing how these guys work, why it works, and also, you know, and pick it apart. And she would read it, and what one told me that made all the sense in the world, she said, I thought my guy was different and special, and that there was something in there worth salvaging. And she said, I read your book, and it turned out I was just dating the average run-of-the-mill street jerk. And I thought he was something different, and he wasn't, because you defined everything, you know, most of the things he was doing to me, the way he treated me, and here I am thinking that he's different from any other jerk that's out there, and he wasn't. And, you know, so they would drop their boyfriends because he became uninteresting, because he seemed common. It's easily defined. One of the things was women mistake arrogance for confidence. Think about that, because people love confident people, but women will look at a guy who walks in and says the most awful things, Trump, right? Say the most awful things, and there are people still collect around him, right? Yep. And they think, wow, he must be really confident to say those kind of things. No, he's just arrogant, okay? That's all it is. He's just arrogant. And so there's nothing there that you really need. But they look at it that way, and then the guys in the same room watching the same thing think he's what? Arrogant, because they know he's arrogant.
Yeah.
And then they look and they see she's attracted to him. She's going, wait a minute, don't you see what we all see? And, you know, so I tell women, you know, ask a guy. You're dating a guy, you know someone that knows him, you know, find out. You know, a guy will be able to tell you, because women can't judge it.
Why you know, so do women? Why you know, women do look at men differently. Women in general look at a lot of things differently than men do. But what is it about women that they're willing to overlook? And it's not the mothering thing so much, but they're willing to overlook that bad boy so much. And before you answer that, here's a couple of the things that Marcus has in this book, which is a great book, Nice Guys Don't Get Laid. please get this book. It is an absolutely fabulous book. It's the one I have is the expanded third edition. It sold out quickly wherever it has been. These are some of the professions, according to Marcus, that women love for their bad boys: rock stars, politicians, pro athletes, gang leaders, rap stars, actors, drug dealers, inarticulate mass murderers. I like that part. Inarticulate mass murders. Like Scott Peterson.
Yet, yet it's true.
It is.
Yeah. See, it's not some. Yeah, he gets married a couple of times where he whacks both of his wives. He's up on the third. He gets a third one. You know, it's something that we look at in amazement. And so, you know, and I hear women go, well, I'm not attracted to mass murders. Well, no, you're not. But what you are attracted to is someone who's very arrogant. So I'm trying to make the point that you don't find guys, you know, wrapping themselves around women who are going to kill them, right? That's something you don't see, but women do. So just that fact shows you that a woman might take someone who's just arrogant or inconsiderate or loses their job or has an alcohol problem or that kind of thing, you know, or doesn't take her seriously. So it's a it's easy then to see if they can go to that extent. If Hitler can have a woman kill herself over him, okay, then maybe there's some better guys out there and women aren't picking them.
Well, Ava Braun was a little on the stupid side. You know, they discovered that she wasn't exactly the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, Marcus. So you know what I mean?
There are a lot of guys out there that can't get a date.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll be honest with you.
Some guys can't get a date.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I haven't dated in a long time. But primarily is I'm 65. I don't drink anymore. And you know, I lived in Las Vegas for 10 years. So I party-hardied in my 20s and my 30s, living in L.A. and Las Vegas and South Florida. So I party-hardy. So yeah. I always said I just don't go to a bar and try to pick up somebody. It's like my buddy's going to a strip bar and saying they're going to take home one of the dancers. Give it a rest. She's not going home with you.
Yeah.
A, she's probably gay, or B, she's got somebody at home waiting for that money so they can snort something up their nose. You know, I mean,
or to bail him out of jail.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about this. What happened to the woman who wanted the family, the white picket fence, and the whole Megillah? Is that kind of out the window now?
Well, you know, it's changed so much. I actually do real estate and investment real estate. And when we rent our homes out, I don't know how many people I come across. It's a man and woman living together. She's had, you know, she's the baby mama, and he hasn't married her. And I see it. It's so common now that it's expected almost. And it's become that, you know, and it's a lot of that's gone. I think there'll probably be a swing back in the other direction when they see the results of it. But it's something that just amazes me that a woman will leave herself that vulnerable, okay, that she has children and has no real ties. Although now they kind of, you know, now if the guy's got money, yeah, there'll be some ties, but there's no real ties, and she'll accept that. So they take it actually, they've taken it to the next step, is not only do they get attracted to these guys, they have children with them, and the guy's the worst father on earth. And then you know who ends up raising him? She ends up getting married to a nice guy later after the guy ditches her for someone else.
Yeah, you know how many times
his children behind, doesn't take care of them, yeah.
You know how many times I've heard that? Oh, I was married to a real, and then I guess I want to go over something with you here in chapter two. We're talking to Marcus Milton, who's written this wonderful book, Nice Guys Don't Get Laid. Gary Allen with you here on The Express. Marcus, let's go over some of the questions, not all of them. I've only marked a few on the nice guy test. And this test was set up by you. I presume you used other people to come up with some of the questions. And this kind of tells you whether you're a nice guy or not.
Right. Which ones did you like?
Well, all right. Number one, how do you typically look when you arrive to pick up your date? A, wear my church clothes. I like to dress up. Sometimes I bring small presents or flowers. I dress casually. Da 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 da. I'm late, dress as I went, and I'm bringing anything. It's a six-pack or a beer. I take a knife. I guess if you answered any one of the top two, you're a nice guy.
Right. Our mama's boy.
Okay. Number two, I like to generally when a girl cancels a date, not acceptable. I don't get the date. I didn't get the date to begin with. I get a weak excuse, and which is generally speaking, she didn't want to go out with me, or she says she's sorry, but she'll make it up to me another time. She cries and begs for forgiveness. The other question, I'm not going to go through all these. I'm just going to number three. I kind of liked. I think women are scary, fantastic, good for only one thing. You're a bad boy if you come up with that one. Let's see. I get dates.
The scourge of the earth.
Yeah. I get dates through my mother. Let me explain something, folks. You don't need to have another question from this test. If you're getting dates through your mom, you're in trouble. You're not only a nice guy, you're a mama's boy and a wimp. Okay? There has never been a girl alive that my mother introduced me to that I said anything other than hello and goodbye. I'm sorry. There's something seriously wrong. When I'm at a bar, when I'm at a bar, I never really try to take anybody home unless I'm so plastered I have nothing else to do with myself. What other questions on here did you like?
I like the one at the bar. I do not go to bars unless there is karaoke. That's the first one. B, I rarely get anywhere with women. C, I occasionally get a phone number. D, I score. E, I drink till I pass out. Of course, this is only if they let me in. And what that comes out to be is that the bad boy walks in. In fact, I had one woman make this point. She said, the guy that walks in gets into a brawl, okay, gets carried out by the police. Mm-hmm. You watch this. Then you've got other men buying drinks for women, trying to meet them, dance with them, that kind of thing. The person that they remember, the guy that got carried out by the cops.
Yes.
Not the one who bought him drinks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that was, and men go to bars to meet women who don't go to bars.
Run that again?
Men go to bars to meet women who never go to bars. So in other words, the kind of women you want to meet, you're not going to find them
in the bar.
Go to bars hoping to meet good women. Yeah. So yeah. So it's one of these things where, you know, it won't work. And so I do a lot of stuff in here that just stuff I learned, stuff I got. I interviewed a lot of women for this. I actually had the National Mensa Convention, and I'm not a member, asked me to come speak to their group for their National Mensa Convention.
Wow.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I was really intimidated. And when I got in there and I spoke, and it was one of the best events I'd ever spoken at, what I realized was as smart as they were, they didn't understand women either.
Really?
And it was, and I had them laughing at the end because I was teaching them how to get drinking problems. I was teaching them, you know, how to get a police record and that kind of thing. And they were finally starting to get it. Was that all the stuff that they'd read in a book that says this is what you need to be attractive to women was all wrong, because those were logical things. And Mensa people are logical people, logical, and they need everything to fit together like an engineering drawing, right? And
right.
This, don't try and make sense of what women like. Don't ever use logic, and sometimes with women in general, but don't ever use logic when it comes to what are they really interested in. It will not make any sense to you at all, and you have to give that up, and you have to watch and see what works, and that's what I did, and so I put it in there. They had a sociology class that actually made this a required reading, one of the books you had to read for the class.
Really? That's cool.
And it really surprised me. Yeah, it surprised me that things like that happened, to get invited to a Mensa convention to speak, and a sociology class. I got some really radically bad reactions to it also, you know, primarily from just angry, angry women.
Really?
They could not believe. Yeah, they think women don't make bad choices.
Oh, of course not.
And so when they get on the Oprah show, they're complaining about the guy they chose, okay? But they look at it as, this is what guys are like. No, you chose him. You chose him because he was like this. And then once you had some time with him, you didn't like what he was that you chose.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, and that just made me go nuts, you know, and that's when I started getting the idea for this book, was that they're telling us one thing and we know it's something else and nobody's written this down. And so I just laid it out, you know, and it's changed guys. I've had guys change because I'm not trying to change a guy into a nasty, you know, pig like Weinstein or something, right? I'm trying to get them.
You're trying to level the plane. You're trying to level the plane for guys.
That's exactly what it does.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking to
We're
talking to Marcus Milton, who has written this wonderful book, Nice Guys Don't Get Laid. He's got a couple other books that we're going to talk about next time that he's on with us. You're on the Express with Gary Allen here. Let's talk about, you talk about in the book, three primary male types. There's first is Mr. Nice Guy. Talk about him.
This is a guy that did listen to his mom. You know, these are the things you're supposed to do. You put him on a pedestal. You take him out to nice dinners. You don't disagree with him or get angry or anything like that. And then you end up getting walked over. You know, you're the guy that she talks about, the bad boy she's dating and all the awful things that he did to her, while she's just hoping he's going to come back and take her away, and will. And I've gotten letters, you know, I got letters from this book from men, and I got to the point where I couldn't read them, and it was almost always the same thing. I met this woman, she had some children, they needed money, they needed help, I found her a job, you know, we had this great relationship, and everything was going great, and I moved in with her, or I was going to marry her, and then one day I get home, and there's a note, and the bad boy showed up that she, you know, had children for, and, you know, I missed you. You know, yeah, I'm really, you know, I shouldn't have broken up with you. You know, I quit drinking or whatever, you know. She jumps in the car and takes off. Like that. You know? Everything he did for her, it didn't matter. None of it was any benefit whatsoever. And I got a few of these letters. I couldn't read them. I would get angry at it. You know, it's like, didn't you see this coming? You know, look who she was attracted to before. She needed you. Okay? And that's what it was. So that's the nice guy. Then you've got Mr. Average, and this is your standard guy. If he's really attracted to a woman, she's not attracted to him. You know, he's a pushover. He becomes a nice guy. He'll do anything she wants, go any place she wants, spend all the money she wants him to spend, you know. And then she's looking for the guy that doesn't think she's quite good enough to give her everything she wants. They'll do anything she wants. She's looking for the guy that she can convince that she is good enough for him. Mm-hmm. And that there has to be a little bit of that where she's got to fight for you a little bit, or if she mistreats you, or she doesn't treat you as well as, you know, the guy that doesn't treat her well, that you don't take that, you know, you point it out, walk away from her, date somebody else, you know.
But Marcus, you also say that the Mr. Average can be like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because, and we've all done it, and I feel bad that I've done it, but you meet the woman that's really attracted to you and will do anything for you. You can get in the same situation where it's just too easy, you know, and then you start looking for someone who's a little bit more, you know, of an achievement to get, or you think it's an achievement to get. And, you know, so, yeah, we've got our bad side. If she's, you know, if she's going to be easy, you know, that kind of thing, we fall into that. You know, and then we go find somebody else, and then she gets stiff, you know. So that does happen, and that's your average guy. And then you got the bad boy. And this is a guy that ultimately he gets women in a position to where it's all about him. What can she do to make him happy? Because if she doesn't make him happy, everything's bad, you know, for them. And what can she do? Can she make herself look pretty enough, you know? Because he doesn't seem to think she's that great looking, no matter what she looks like. Have you ever noticed that the best looking women are the ones who spend the most time still trying to make themselves look better?
Yes.
You know, they're already attractive. They don't need to do anything. You have someone who's not attractive that needs to do a lot of work to make herself look attractive. And this beautiful woman will actually spend more time making herself up than the ones who aren't attractive.
Yeah.
You know? And it, you know, so it's a, and they, and that's why you see beautiful women with ugly, mean SOBs, you know, because he won't treat her good. And she takes that as, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. Okay. What can I do? You know, How can I please him? You know, and they leave it at that. And so around the age of 30 is when some of the smarter women finally see the light. Mm-hmm. They're getting a little bit older. They want to have children. And they're going, you know something? This is never going to work, is it? You know, and they'll get out. Others, they stay with it. They'll go through their entire life doing this over and over again.
But Marcus, let me interrupt here for a second. Don't you think a lot of this stems from low self-esteem all the way around?
I thought so, but I've seen some women. I had a guy that came into town, and he's from my hometown, country bumpkin, going through college, fifth year of college, was switching his major for the third time, this time to acting. Okay. This guy's got a lot going for him, right? Mm-hmm. And he had a drug problem, didn't own a car, couldn't hold a job during the summer or anything. You know, that's what he was. He came to Los Angeles, where I was at the time. Within a week, we had lawyers, women that were lawyers, beautiful, models, you know, calling him up, coming over. He's taking them out and everything. I'm sitting there going, you know, I used to think the self-esteem thing, but no, it's not. I've seen strong women, good education, got everything going for them, and they go for a bad boy. Look at Sandra Bullock. Mm-hmm. She didn't have enough money. She wasn't good enough looking. She goes mm-hmm. and picks a guy that had an absolute reputation for fooling around. weren't enough guys out there she could have chosen from. Right.
I'll give you another example. Everybody who's listening to this program, you have probably seen this young lady, Nancy O'Dell. She's on one of those Entertainment Tonight programs. She worked in Miami. She's absolutely drop dead gorgeous. I've been in her company as far as standing close to her. Beautiful, articulate, intelligent, you name it. She's all of that. She moves out to California. She leaves the television station that she's working for in Miami. She moves out to California to marry her sweetheart, who is a well-to-do dentist, okay? Well-to-do. Had a number of offices in L.A., and you lived in L.A. I lived in L.A. If you're a well-to-do dentist with a number of offices, you're making buku bucks. You're making millions. You're not making a couple hundred thousand. You're making millions. Okay. And he did a lot of dental work for the big stars, which they always need work. Okay. Fast forward 5-6 years later, she's divorced the guy. Why? Because while she was out one day roaming around L.A., she bumped into a motorcycle. Now, the guy on the motorcycle happened to be a professional. He was a lawyer, but he was a bad boy. And he liked riding motorcycles and wearing the leather and the whole bit. She divorced the dentist for this guy, who in turn, after 2 years of being married to him, dumped her for a younger woman who was as skanky looking as it can be. And now Nancy is very much single, and who knows what she's up. I saw it in L.A. so many times, but I also, I'll be honest with you, and this is not just – I'm not just saying this because I know this for a fact, but I had a couple of women who lived in my building where I lived that were adult film actresses, and they were both in their acting as well as in their private life, they were both gay. The insecurities and the bad boys or bad girls side of the world exists in their little world as well, in the gay communities. There are bad gay guys and bad gay chicks that use other people. I mean, let's face it, there are bad people in everything. But I was really surprised because I have a sister who is a psychologist, and she said to me, she said, "Hey, very insecure people are that way. They're bad boys are insecure because they're extremely insecure about themselves." And girls like you said that are very beautiful, and I've run across actresses that are extremely beautiful, but they go after the bad boys. It's because of their own insecurity. Yeah. They want, you know, they don't want that white picket fence thing anymore working for them. But there's an example of someone I knew who gave up a really nice guy. He got married again, the dentist, and perfectly happy. And she has said years later, she made a major mistake. Really a major mistake.
Yeah.
You know, all right, yeah, now let's absolutely. let's get to the bad boy, the jerk.
Okay. Yeah, the bad boy, and that's what I was going into near the end there. He's a mm-hmm. guy that makes it all about him. She's got to please him. She's got to be good-looking enough. And when things go bad, and it's notoriously common, like she finally's had enough. That's it. I can't take it anymore. That's when he gets picked up for drunk driving. He ends up in jail. She's got to bail him out and fix the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, and she's dragged back into it because he starts to realize, wait a second, I'm starting to lose her. He goes out and gets drunk, wrecks the car, gets picked up, okay? Mm-hmm. No one else is going to go take him out of jail, but she's going to do it. And then she's got to get him back on his feet again, you know? And so this will go on for a while. Like I said, when they get to about 30, they go, okay, that's it, I've had it, most of them. Some will stay with it. But it's, you know, for guys that have had all this trouble that I'm talking about, they can't seem to get out of this cycle. When you get to be about 30, it all changes. They want to have children. They've dated the bad boys. They know what's going to happen. They're sick of it. They've had it. And that's when things kind of switch over. And then everything's kind of on your side because you're starting to earn enough money and yeah. you start not caring as much, you know, about what they think. Yeah. And so, you know, and so then it'll flip. But up until then, you just watch this pattern. And my background was an engineer. You know, I had to have a drawing. I had to see how this worked. I was trying to make logic out of it. And when once I realized it was illogic that drove it, then I had to write the illogic down and see, okay, let's list the things that don't seem to be a bad, you know, that's a bad quality, but for some reason isn't a bad quality when it comes to relationships. You know, I'm writing things down so people can kind of map it out. And it describes women as well. So it's a, you know, it works for the men to be able to pick women. You know, if she's treating you a certain way and you start to see it, you can turn that around, you know, and they'll actually respect you for doing it.
Yeah.
I had, I was dating a woman that had broken up with a guy who had kidney problems and a drinking problem. Okay. That's a great combination. Mm-hmm. And so she breaks up with the guy. We're dating. Everything's going wrong. Great. I'm getting ready to go pick her up to do something. Made big plans. And she calls me up. She goes, I can't make it. I said, what's going on? Well, you know, he's in the hospital, his kidney failed, he had a couple of drinks, and I've got to go, you know, go see him, and I don't feel comfortable seeing you anymore. And I said, if I pick up a cocaine problem, will you come back to me? And she hung up on me. And I saw her later, but I'll tell you something, she saw me very differently after that, because I called her out on it, and she knew it, and she knew she was a fool, and of course that didn't work out. And by the time I did see her, I was getting ready to move out of town, so nothing happened. But it was funny. When she saw me that time, I was enthralled with her. Mm-hmm. And everything was going great. She was enthralled with me for a while until this happened, okay? Yeah. And then I'm like, and I'd already reached that point where I knew what was going on. But since we both liked each other, I didn't see this coming. And when it did, I'd called her out on it. And the next time I saw her, just the look on her face, it was totally different. It was not... Oh, you're such a nice guy. You're a great guy. She looked at me with some amount of respect.
Yeah, well, that's
and,
cool.
And it was a big change. Yeah, so you know they want to be called out. Okay,
yeah.
They don't want to get away with this stuff. They really don't, because they don't have respect for a guy that will let them do that. Yeah. And here's one of the things that comes up in that area, is that if you are unable to stand up to her, then this goes back to the basic elements. Then you're unable to protect her. Because if you can't stand up to a woman, then you can't stand up to a guy that may threaten her.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking to Marcus P. Milton.
You know, even
he's the we're talking to Marcus P. Milton, the author of Nice Guys Don't Get Laid. Where can they find the book?
Amazon's got it. They've got all my books. And then at my site, it's sharkbaitpress.com, which is baiting for shark. Sharkbait, S-H-A-R-K-B-A-I-T, press.com. Mm-hmm. Sharkbaitpress.com, so P-R-E-S-S.com. And you can buy the books through there. And then Amazon's got them all. You know, so I've been selling these for years, and I just kept selling out of it, recreating the book, putting it out there again. And it just continued from there while I produced these other books. This is the one that's always sold the most. Yeah. Always gotten the most comments. Always, you know, the rest of it, I do graphic novels because I hired an artist. So it's totally different. But all of it's satire, you know, it's making fun of life and how things are a little different from the way they should be and making fun of it. So I find I learn that way. If I can get someone laughing about a situation and they read it and they understand it, then it's easier to change than if you go up to somebody and say, what are you doing taking that from her? That's not going to do it. You know, make some fun of it. You know, get a drinking problem.
Yeah. You talk about bad boys, that one of their weapons they are able to use is confidence.
Right.
You say that's
confidence. They may have no confidence whatsoever, but they have arrogance. And women look at arrogance and they think, oh, wow, he's so confident. No, he's a pig. He's an idiot. He's a jerk. Men don't like him either. Okay. But he's so confident because look what he said. Do you really want to have that person around people you like, you know? And yet they do. And they think that that's, you know, so confidence is misjudged by women very easily. So that's one element. And then, you know, that whole thing about it's about me. Everything's about me. If he can hook her into that, if she's got to save him, if she's not pretty enough because he's not as impressed with her beauty, that everyone else is always talking about how great looking she is, okay? But this guy's not. Maybe I can look prettier for him. Maybe I can dress sexier for him. You know, she'll get into that mode. You know, she's trying to do whatever she can for him. And then just having a guy that's got problems that they got to fix, you know? And having a guy that'll call her out. A bad boy will call her out for things he shouldn't call her out for, okay? But it still has that same kind of an effect, you know? And so that's something that these bad boys do to hook them in. But they're a disaster. Their lives aren't going to be any good either, you know? But it's just something that I saw. It was a little frustrating to watch because, you know, I was told one thing about what attracts women, and I saw it was completely the opposite of that.
Yeah. Let's move. Let's jump ahead a little bit here because you have some wonderful chapters in the book. You know, one of the chapters, chapter six, is traps a nice guy should learn to avoid. But let's talk about chapter eight, reprogramming the nice guy and how a nice guy can go to the dark side.
At this point, this is when I get to the point of being absurd. You know, because I'm teaching the guy how to become that disaster that she's looking for. And it's to make that point, is that, you know, you start to recognize the guys that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
These guys are, you know, the guys that are attractive to women have these qualities. You know, you've got self-depreciation. That's where a guy jokes about himself. You know, I'm not good enough. You know, he's joking about it. Well, you know, sometimes women just... they don't, don't really have that much respect for the guy. They actually believe it, but they also are self-depreciating themselves. If a beautiful woman, someone says, you know, you're not that great looking, she'll actually take it badly. She doesn't seem to have the confidence to really look at herself and say, my God, I'm much better looking than over 50% of women out there. They are, it's so effective for them. And a lot of the bad boys use that. You know, they never give them a compliment. And so they're always trying to earn that compliment. You got need to take care of, you know. This is a guy that needs to be taken care of and needs to be fixed. And there's some women that love to be martyrs. So martyrdom, that's a quality. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I had to work so hard to get him to stop drinking, you know, and you know, woe is me. And he has these women that are always all over him, you know, and maybe I can, you know, maybe I can gain him back, you know, they're martyr and challenge. Okay. See, the bad boy is a challenge to women because really he's not somebody you want to capture and he doesn't want to be captured. So it's a challenge and they think, oh, it's just a challenge. It's not that he doesn't want to get married. He just hadn't met the right woman. It's not that he doesn't want to have children. He'll want to have children with me. I'll make him want that. You know, they'll rather than pick a guy who wants to have children, they'll pick a guy that doesn't. I've seen that so many. I mean, have you seen that before? Where a woman who absolutely wants children realizes this guy never wants to have children and sticks with him. And then she's going to convince him because she's going to make him really want to have children. Or she'll suddenly get pregnant accidentally, right? You know, because then he's going to love it when he has a child and he ditches her. You know, so it's just a weird thing. And then there's other guys that want to have children and, you know, oh, he's too needy. He wants, you know, so they ditched that guy. So those are some qualities that I found were, and then some qualities you don't, you know, that you may want, be a little aloof, you know, not easy to catch. One thing that's really great, being attractive doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be more successful with women.
Yeah, true.
I've seen good-looking guys who were a little too passive, you know, a little bit too needy or something like that, couldn't get anywhere, and these slugs. I mean, Weinstein. Okay, I know that he assaulted women, but he got married, what, 2 or 3 times. Someone was attracted to him. He's a pig, you know.
They're attracted.
Mean, awful person.
They're attracted to his power, and they're attracted to the fact that they can. They can make or break people, and women love power. They love power.
Okay, you can protect me.
Yeah, all you have to do is watch that Housewives of Wherever series and understand that these women love power, and if they have it. Oh, look out! They can really do it. We're talking to Marcus Milton.
He is the author. That power.
Yeah, we're talking to Marcus Milton, who is the author of "Nice Guys Can't Get Laid." It's a great book. Go on Amazon. I think you'll find it. Go to sharkbait.com and you can purchase any one of the books there. Let's talk. We got about 7 minutes left here in the program. I want to talk about. The Bad Boy Hall of Fame and some of the people that are in there, because there's an awful lot of new ones that can be added to that. Let me just say that if you probably went into an awful lot of major corporations in America, in particular, we're finding out Fox News, which is a despicable news organization to begin with. We're finding out that a lot of the people that were in charge were also bad boys. According to one of the lawsuits, and I just found this out the other day, apparently they've got a couple of female executives that are bad girls that use their powers to try to get what they wanted to get. Power will corrupt. Okay, let's be honest. But let's talk about some of that. You have Charlie Sheen at the top of the list, which is absolutely true. You got Weinstein. You got now Gabe Watson. I haven't really read this. Talk about Gabe Watson. Who is he?
I didn't have him in the book itself.
No, but this is
one I really like. Yeah.
This was somebody you sent to me.
Remind me what he did.
Gabe Watson managed to
remember the name is from.
Gabe Watson managed to stay married for 11 days before his wife Tina had a mysterious scuba diving death in Australia. Yeah, on their honeymoon.
He was a nobody. Yeah, he was. The reason I remember his name, I usually use famous ones, but this was a famous case. And what it was that he was married for 11 days, and they were diving, and she died, and he was the one that caused it. You know, and I'd forgotten if he had somehow kept her down. Or whatever it was, and then her body drifted off or something like that. So he gets back home and meets somebody else and gets married. And they find him desecrating the grave of his ex-wife. The way they found it was someone was doing something to the gravesite, and they put a camera on it, and it was him. And they had thought maybe he had something to do with her death. But the point was that here he was, this mysterious death. Lots of people were wondering how it happened. It looked very, very much like he killed her. And he meets someone else and gets married again. And it's like there are just not enough guys out there. You can't, you know, this guy who quite possibly killed his last wife suddenly falls for you, and it's going to work out well. And so he's just another example. And one I love to use is Bill Clinton. What I enjoy most about Bill Clinton, at the time he was president, there was this thing about men, you know, basically in the workplace, you know, who were taking advantage of women, who were doing bad things with women, you know, and Clarence Thomas, you remember, they went after him, and they used that as a club on people that sometimes just absolutely didn't deserve it. And then he gets into trouble with the blue dress. And I remember the first day that the reporters, women reporters, were like, oh, this is it. He's out. And these are people that just wanted to be president. Within 2 or 3 days, that story changed to, well, he wasn't really having sex. Do you remember that?
Well, yeah, I had a buddy of mine who was his chief advance. I kind of knew about the shenanigans of both Clintons. I mean, there are things about her that have never come forward, but I know the shenanigans.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
We've got about 3 minutes left in the show. Uh-huh. Real quick, what are in page 171? You come to a conclusion of the book. Talk about the biggest takeaway that you'd like people to get from this book, men, women, and everybody in general.
Yeah. You know, for women, you need to write down what it is you're looking for in a relationship and then go for the guy that's like that. You don't want to look for a guy that you can change into that. You mm-hmm. don't want to look for a guy that doesn't want to have children, change him to one that wants to have children, or vice versa. So you look at what you want in life, and then you pick the men that way. And for guys, you need to get a backbone. The guys that are having really trouble dating and everything, you know, is that women are strong enough to take it. If they cross you, you let them know, you know. Yeah. And also, you can't look at a woman, fall in love with her immediately, and only look for, you know, only go after her. You've got to date and see as many women as you possibly can that you have any interest in. And you'll be able to define at that point down to someone who's going to be interested in you. And you will end up attracting a lot of women to you. Crowds mm-hmm. get more crowds. You have a crowd of women. When women see many women around you, you may not even have a real relationship with any of them. It makes them wonder why. And it makes them think that they need you. Mm-hmm. And so I tell guys, get out there with as many women as you can, because that'll build your confidence. And if a woman ever turns you down, never take it as being something personally about you. It's absolutely not true that if she turned you down, that there's something not good enough about you, because the day after she turns you down mm-hmm. is the day she'll take a date with a mass murderer.
Well,
and because she misjudges what she goes after, and she will ditch somebody that's the best thing ever for her and not know why and not care why. And so when you get turned down by a woman multiple times and you thought you had something going, move on, because they don't have good judgment on men. You can't mm-hmm. take it personally. It's not you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a couple of minutes still left in the show here. What's the biggest thing you learned while researching and writing this book about yourself?
What I learned was that that I assumed, you know, I did put women on a pedestal, and I was intimidated. I was really intimidated by women. I was nervous, you know. I wanted to be accepted. And one of the worst things on earth is to be shy, and I was shy, because you know they. Well, there was a song about, I like guys that are shy, you know. No, they don't. They don't like them at all. They have mm-hmm. a disdain for them. They don't treat them very, yeah, they like them, but they don't love them, you know. So it's so I had those qualities, and I had to get over that by doing exactly what I said. I had to just start asking out everybody and get out there. And that's what built my confidence over time, was I started to learn a lot more, but people were more attracted to me because I was out more. And with that came the confidence that I really should have had anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big thing. That was the big takeaway. And also really not to take it personally when someone turns you down, because, you know, she's going to have a different interest anyway, you know. But the other thing is, she may be looking for a guy that just mistreats her like you would not believe. And you're never going to be that person. And so you can't possibly take it personally that she turned you down. It's not because you weren't good enough. You're just not the guy, at least at the moment. You know, you turn around, you find somebody else. You keep going. She may be attracted to you later. But you got to move on.
We've been talking to Marcus Milton, who's the author of Nice Guys Don't Get Laid. I want to thank you very much for joining us, Marcus. You can get the book on Amazon. It's a fabulous book. It's a lot of satire and some straightforward knowledge. Have some fun with it when you get it. I have the expanded third edition. Marcus will be back with us at some point after the first of the year. Talk about some of his other books. Marcus, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on The Express.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All righty. Thank you, sir. I want to thank all of you out there very much for taking the time to join us here on The Express. This program will repeat itself at 7 p.m. on Thursday evening on diversitybroadcastnetwork.com, as well as youtube.com. It'll be up sometime over the weekend, Facebook. And as I said, folks, the new website will be transferred over to the new host. There'll be a lot of new links for a lot of podcast companies you can go to hear a lot of my shows. But don't forget, tune in and some of the other places, Progressive Voices as well. Until next time, would you take care of yourselves and each other?
You've been listening to The Express with Gary Allen. Join us here every Tuesday night at 10 for more captivating talk with Gary Allen. See you next time on The Express.